Good day, I'm Jackie Judd, and this is Health on the Hill. Congress is still in recess, and no doubt lawmakers are at home fielding many questions from constituents and voters about the health care reform law. At about 2,100 pages, it is a challenge to fully understand. So today, we're going to talk about some of the myths that have emerged about the law. I'm joined by Mary Agnes Carey, senior correspondent of Kaiser Health News, and Julie Rovner of National Public Radio. Welcome to you both, and welcome to our new set.
Thank you.
Julie, you reported a story on some of the myths that abound about the health care reform law, the first one being having to do with the implantation of a microchip. What was that about?
That's right. There are some people who still think that in order to be part of this new law, you will have to have a microchip implanted into you, and that is definitely not the case.
But so the government can follow you.
Yes, that was definitely going to be the idea. This is sort of the classic case of people adding two and two and getting 836. And what this came from originally was when the House passed its version of the health bill last year, there was included in that bill a requirement for the Food and Drug Administration to develop a registry of implantable medical devices. Now, these are things like heart pacemakers and artificial hips and artificial knees. And the idea behind it was that if these devices were to be recalled, and this has happened in the past. Mm-hmm. There have been, you know, our artificial hips have been recalled for various reasons, that either the FDA or the company that makes them would like to be able to locate the patient in whom these devices are implanted. So that was the idea. Now, also floating around on the web are videos about the first implantable microchip that can have your medical records put on it. Now, these are microchips similar to the microchip you can put in your pets with your name and address, so that if your pet gets lost, they can read the microchip and return your pet to you. Obviously, these microchips for humans are voluntary, but they are now approved by the FDA. So people saw these microchips for humans, and they saw this FDA implantable device registry, and they sort
put
of
the two and two
yes
together.
They conflated the two and immediately jumped to the conclusion that in order to be part of the public option to get insurance through the government, you were going to have one of these microchips. Well, in the end, there was no public option in the bill, and in fact the FDA implantable device registry didn't make it into the final bill either, so none of these things came to pass. So why this myth is still circulating is a really interesting thing, since none of it is in the final law.
And there's another myth you reported on, which to me seems more like a potential misunderstanding, and that has to do with whether people need to pay taxes for their health insurance beginning next year.
That's right. And this really is a misunderstanding. And of course, there is this Cadillac tax that's floating around that will potentially take effect in the year.
In later years.
In later years, that's right. But those will not be people having to pay taxes. That's a tax that's levied on the insurance mm-hmm. company. What does happen next year, though, and that people will start seeing on their W-2 form, that's the form they get at the end of the year with which they pay their taxes, there will be a line that shows how much their employer spent for their health insurance. But they will not be asked to pay taxes on this. This is an informational line so that they can actually start to see that, wow, my employer paid $10,000 or whatever on my health insurance. And this is to start to give people an idea of how much employers are paying. In later years, this may come into play as this Cadillac tax does or doesn't take effect. But for right now, there is no change in the tax treatment of health insurance. The amount that your employer pays for your health insurance is still exempt from taxes.
The myths that you reported on largely originate with opponents of the health care reform law. Mary Agnes, you've done some investigating about some myths or, again, misunderstandings that have come from people who support the law.
Well, one thing we heard a lot during health care reform is if you like your health plan, you can keep it as part of health reform. Well, maybe, maybe not. Employers are making all sorts of decisions separate from the health law on the plans they offer, how much they cost, how much they want their employees to pay. And as they look at those costs and analyze them, they may change your current health care coverage. And as an employee, you may look at if your co-pays and your deductibles and your premiums increase, you may want to change your coverage because it's the rules of the game, if you will, are changing. Health care costs are growing. We found that out through a Kaiser Family Foundation poll released last week. Employees are being asked to share a greater part of the burden. So there are a lot of factors that could change keeping that health care insurance, whether you do it or not.
And you also found myth or misunderstanding regarding Medicare. Medicare benefits?
Well, there's been a lot of conversation, and this is more from opponents of the bill, that Medicare Advantage, that your benefits are going to be cut. Now, we know that in the bill, of course, Medicare Advantage companies are being paid less. That was a decision made in the bill. But it is clear that the law says that your basic benefits cannot be touched as part of Medicare Advantage. What could change there is Medicare Advantage providers, again, these are these private plans in the Medicare program, they could just say, well, if our reimbursement is lowered from the government, we're going to have as many extra benefits, maybe not the eyeglasses, maybe not the gym memberships. Those things could go away. But the basic standard package is not supposed to be changed as part of this.
You know, it's easy in one way to make light of some of these myths, the microchip, for example. But there probably are some serious consequences with having these myths out there, some people believing them. What do you worry about when you report a story like this?
Well, I think one of the big elements of confusion, too, is that a lot of the things that are happening now don't have anything to do with the new law. Remember, most of the new law hasn't taken effect yet and won't for another 4 years. So some of the things you see, like costs going up for, the survey that came out last week, costs going up for health insurance, and everyone says, wow, look, the new law is driving up the cost of health insurance. No, that had nothing to do with the new law. That has to do with costs going up in general. So I think that's almost... it's a myth. It's a misunderstanding. It's a myth. It's sort of things that are being blamed on the new law that have nothing to do with it. And I think that's one of the big problems. I think one of the reasons that Republicans said early on that they were going to sort of sit out this health law is that they knew that it meant that Democrats were going to own the health care system for the next 4 years, no matter what. That was the idea, that everything could be blamed on the new law, whether or not it had anything to do with it. I think then the Democrats' problem from a PR point of view is that the things that the new law has done that might be perceived as good, these $250 checks that are going out to seniors who fall into the Medicare donut, the drug donut hole, I think a lot of seniors have gotten those checks. They have no idea what they are. They get a $250 check and think,
what's
this?
And they don't know that it was part of the new law.
That's right. The things that have happened with the new law, these high-risk pools, basically all that people have heard is that a lot of people won't be able to get into them, or some governors haven't, they've only heard controversy. So I think, it hasn't had the bounce for Democrats they've hoped they had. Republicans have really managed to make it very controversial. So I think there's really been a lot of, it's been a very mixed bag. And there's been a lot of controversy. A lot of it obviously hasn't taken effect yet. Mm-hmm. And I think a lot of the bad news about health care has been pinned on the law, whether or not it's been the law's fault.
And what does this do for the federal policymakers, or the implementers, I should say, the people responsible for implementing this over the next 4 years? How much more difficult does it make their job to get this done?
I think it makes it incredibly difficult because the law is sweeping, it's complex, and they've got to explain. Let's think about, Julie just talked about some of these high-risk pools, for example. How are those working? They could be different. A state could ask the federal government to implement it. The state itself might implement it. Mm-hmm. There are going to be provisions that will go into effect next month that may or may not benefit individuals. Those all have to be explained. Then you've got the longer range game of many provisions going into effect down the road. You have to write the regulations. You've got the players, if you will, the insurers, the hospitals, the doctors, all the healthcare providers that are affected. You've got to deal with them, and you've got to explain it clearly to the public. This is going to be a very difficult thing to do. They're doing their best. Certainly, they've got websites and all sorts of information to help people, but it's going to be complicated.
And a very, very long process for consumers to get comfortable with it, if ever.
That's right. And, of course, you've got Republicans running sort of nationwide on the let's repeal it, mm-hmm. or let's mm-hmm. repeal it and replace it. Replace it with what? So you've got, complexity.
Or let's not fund it.
Right. Complexity is never the friend of the political process. And I think we're seeing that in spades this year.
Okay. Well, thank you both very much for joining me. For Health on the Hill, Mary Agnes Carey of Kaiser Health News and Julie Rovner of National Public Radio. Thanks.